time there, particularly in the latter part of the chapter. But verse 32, I want to turn your attention to now. Romans 8, 32, we can read together here this short verse. And I think it's going to apply for where we are and what we're observing in this particular season. All right, reading together. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Amen. Praise the Lord. That sacrifice was not for nothing. Amen. The Lord is resurrected. And the death on the cross was a horrible thing, but thank God he is alive and powerful and able to give us all things. So we're calling this us all. Us all. Us all. Amen. We're all included. We all receive the benefits. We're all going to be going up. Thank God when the trumpet sounds. Amen. Believing the Lord together. You can be seated. The Lord bless you. When you think about Bible prophecy and the predictions that were made, and the many of the Old Testament prophecies, some in general, Abraham saying, or the Lord telling Abraham, where your feet walk will belong to the Hebrews, and I'll make your descendants as plentiful as the sands of the seashore, as plentiful as the stars in the heavens, and that's quite a promise. But the Lord did a great work. And Joseph telling the people of Israel, God is surely going to visit you, and you carry my bones out of here. Kind of an odd request, but he was prophesying. He was letting them know, the Lord's going to take you out of here, and don't leave me behind. And then certainly that happened. Daniel's 70 weeks, I'm just hopping around here a little bit of some of the prophecies that are prominent in Scripture. Daniel's 70 weeks is just an amazing, amazing prophecy. And if you've ever had opportunity to look into it, you know how accurate it is. And if you haven't, that would be an interesting study for you to take some time to go through. And then Israel being regathered and becoming a nation in May 15th, 1948. Wasn't that very long ago? But you consider the war that they had just endured, and unfortunately 6 million did not survive. Then all of the other situations in Russia and Eastern Europe and all around, that they were persecuted, they were driven out, and just any number of things that happened to them. So how in the world could they become a nation? But it happened because God's word said it was going to happen. Amen. And we're seeing prophecy being fulfilled in that aspect today, when the word of God tells us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. There's a reason for that, because there's more prophecy that is going to come to pass. Personal prophecies. Abraham and Sarah without an heir, and Isaac being born. The laughter that came into their lives, into their experience. Moses with the signs and wonders that continued for 40 years. Their clothes didn't wear out. Their shoes didn't wear out. Manna fell every morning except for the Sabbath. The signs and wonders were just incredible. But the Lord said that's what he's going to do. The sure mercies of David, on and on. And then certainly the Messiah, his place of birth that the scribes were able to name and tell Herod, that's where he's going to be born. And then he directed the wise men, go to Bethlehem. That's what the scriptures say. Bring word to me again. We know that old devil was just going to wreak havoc with that, and he did, with the number of children being killed. But thank God the Lord survived, because the prophecy Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The bruising of his heel and the bruising of the serpent's head, prophesied way back in Genesis 3:15, would come to pass, and that's the season that we're in now. Jesus himself predicted his death and his resurrection. Numerous times he made reference to it to his disciples, and sometimes they grasped what he was saying. Other times, I don't know, they were preoccupied, they were distracted, they didn't grab it. They didn't understand. Matthew 16, he said, in Jerusalem, I'm going to suffer. I'm going to be killed, but I'll be raised again the third day. That's when Peter rebuked him. Good old Peter. He's going to speak up regardless of what is going on. But Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. That's a pretty strong rebuke. And to Peter's credit, he stayed with it. And not didn't say, okay, I'm out of here. That wasn't his attitude. He stuck with it. God help us likewise to have an attitude. I'm staying. Praise God. Another time in Galilee with the miracles and the healing taking place almost daily, almost hourly, the incredible things that were happening. And then right in the midst of that setting, he said he would be betrayed. He would be killed, but the third day he would be raised. And as you can imagine, as they realized what he was saying, the Bible says they were exceeding sorry, just as we grieve when our loved ones are nearing death as a result of illness or an accident or whatever might be happening. We're exceeding sorry as well. Mark's presentation of this hour said they didn't understand but were afraid to ask. It was something they wanted to put aside. Don't talk about your death. Don't talk about that. We want you here. And they were thrilled with what was happening. In John 12, there was a voice from heaven that sounded like thunder. Praise God. And Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. John explains he was signifying what death he should die. And then when he washed the disciples' feet, just like we did tonight, celebrating the Passover, he gave the bread, passed the cup, and he cited a prophecy from Zechariah 13:7, where the shepherd would be smitten. You smite the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered, signifying his death. But he added, after I am risen again, I will go before you. Praise God. I'm thankful that each time he foretold his death, as traumatic as that would be for them to hear it, I'm thankful that he included, I'm going to rise again. Praise God. Hallelujah. As 1 Corinthians 15, that spends a lot of time on the resurrection of the Lord and a lot of time on the change that's going to come to us. That passage of Scripture includes this, the sentence, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Praise God. And that is going to be a fulfillment of God's word. Oh, I'm thankful. And even though we've said goodbye to loved ones, even though we miss them and it's difficult to reconcile the aspect of we're not going to see them again in this life, we're not going to hear their voice again in this life, but thank God, I'm so thankful there's a resurrection that's coming. I'm so thankful that there's going to be a time when we see them without aches and pains, without distraction, without problems, without sin, without Satan. Praise God. And no tears and no pain, no sorrow, no death. Praise God. God fulfills his word. Confidence in his promises. That's where we can stand tonight. Confidence. 1 Kings 8 and 56, clear back in the time of Solomon, blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel according to all that he promised. Amen. That promise there is recognized. And according to all of it, he's promised that there hath not failed one word of all his good promise. Oh, wow. That's amazing. And that's the God we serve. That's the God whose word we rely upon. Amen. It's not going to fail. And the Lord declared, my word is going to go forth. It will return to me in a situation where there's not going to be a void. There's not going to be an emptiness. It's not going to be a vacuum. But it will accomplish what I've sent it to do. Praise God. And that which I please, it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. That's the confidence you can have in the Word of God, both for your own needs, your own salvation, your own situations, and also for the fact that you share your testimony, you teach the Word of God, you have Bible studies with people. You can have confidence in the Word of the Lord that it is going to happen, it is going to take place. Amen. And I'm amazed to look at Isaiah 53, the prophecy about the Messiah, and the suffering that he would experience, the difficulties that he would go through. But yet so committed is he to his word, it was fulfilled exactly as Isaiah wrote it. He's a man of sorrows. He's despised and rejected. He's acquainted with grief. That's why when you're going through something, you can call upon the one who knows what you're feeling. He's touched with the feelings of your infirmities. Amen. He is a high priest who can do something about it. He offered a sacrifice that was above everything as far as the blood of bulls and goats and so on. He offered himself. Praise God. And I'm thankful that we can rely upon it. Acquainted with grief, wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. That actually happened, we got to remember. The wounding, the bruising, the slapping, the spitting. That's how they treated him. That's what he went through. Isaiah 53 continues. He was oppressed and afflicted. He was made an offering for sin. He bare the sin of many and made intercession. And with his stripes we are healed. Amen. Oh, I'm thankful that he is so committed to his word that he didn't back up from these things. He didn't look for an easier way. He didn't look for another answer, another means, another way. No, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And he shed his blood, thank God, so that there would be the remission of sins. And by it, he obtained eternal redemption for us. Thank God for what he accomplished, for what he did. 2 Corinthians 5 and 21 lets us know he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And we might add there, we didn't know the righteousness. We thought we were doing right. We thought we were doing okay. But the Lord came and made a change in us. And praise God, he provided it for us all. Didn't leave anybody out. Didn't say there's only a certain few. It was the Hebrews for many centuries. But thank God the Lord opened it up to everyone. And we're all able to receive the blessings that he bought with a price. He spared not his own son, the scripture says. Remember that the statement in John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave. There are so many that quote that with just a rote memorization. Thank God they've hidden that verse in their heart and they're able to say it and they're able to believe it. But oh my, it speaks of so much and the suffering that he went through. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Thank God that he was paying that price. And as we read from Romans 8, he delivered him up for us all. Raised up on the cross before he was raised from the dead. And the 6 hours that he hung there, just a time of severe torture, difficulty beyond imagination. And those who were crucified on each side of him had their legs broken. The Lord died at the end of those 6 hours. He cried out, "It is finished." And thank God he did finish the work. He did fulfill the word of God. The prophecies were brought to pass. It is finished. But the death of those on either side of him was hastened by their legs being broken, because the death was actually by asphyxiation. They suffocated to death. Just horrible. Horrible. The Romans thought nothing of that kind of punishment, and rendered that punishment almost for the tiniest infractions. And here our Lord went through it as well. God delivered him up for us all. I'm thankful that he paid the price of redemption for us all. He gave himself for us. That phrase shows up 5 times in the epistles. He gave himself for us. Thank God that he included us all. And Romans 6 and 3, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death." I'm thankful it's so many of us. Praise God. Amen. I'm thankful that when we get together at camp meeting, there's so many of us. Praise God. I'm thankful that when the trumpet sounds, there's going to be so many of us that rise to meet him in the air. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I'm thankful there's no end. There's thousands in the book of Acts. And thank God there's millions today who are being baptized in the wonderful name of Jesus and being filled with the Holy Ghost. So many of us, because he did it for us all. When John wrote about the marriage supper of the Lamb, he said, I heard the voice of much people in heaven. Then he went on to describe what it sounded like. It sounded like the voice of a great multitude, the voice of many waters, the voice of mighty thunderings. Praise God. He's trying to describe what it sounded like. He's trying to let us know how majestic it was, how powerful it was, how amazing that it was. And thank God, I want us to be there to hear it for ourselves. Amen. I want us to add our voice, praise God, to that praise and that worship to the Lord, because the marriage of the Lamb has come. Praise God. And we're going to be in that place. Praise God. Because the passage we read goes on to say, he will freely give us all things. Us all from the standpoint of everyone being included. And then us all from nothing needs to be left out. Nothing needs to be done without. You can receive what God has in store for you. You can be blessed with what he paid the price for. You can know the blessings that he wants to provide. He will freely give us all things. Praise God. And the devil is a liar when he says, you can't receive that. You can't have that. That's not for you today. No, he's a liar. Thank God we can believe the Lord for all things. Because along with that statement in Romans 8:32, there's 1 Corinthians 2 and 12. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world. Thank God. That's not where we're camping. That's not what we're doing. That's not what we're absorbing. Not the spirit of the world. No, we're not going to go along with that. But the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Oh, hallelujah. And there's so much. There's so much. Thank God we can testify of so much that the Lord has provided, so much that the Lord has given. But we can keep on receiving. We can keep on seeking. We can keep on trusting. We can keep on going, praise God, because he paid the price. Amen. Hallelujah. It's good for us to remember that price. But thank God he's not on the cross tonight. He's not in the tomb tonight. Amen. He paid that price to give us so great salvation. Hallelujah. and thank the Lord, we can experience all that the Lord has. You know, the Bible talks about in Hebrews 6, things that accompany salvation. Wow, salvation in itself is amazing. It's powerful. It's wonderful. It's delivering. It's setting free. It's bringing liberty. But there are things that accompany salvation that we are to receive, we're to enjoy, and God says, I'll freely give it to you. Praise God. Thank the Lord for all that he has provided. So us all, no one needs to be left out. And all the promises, all the things that he would freely give. Amen. I'm thankful that we can know how wonderful and how powerful those things are. All the promises of God are yes and amen. That's what the scripture says. Amen. In Jesus Christ, all of them are yes and amen. Thank God he has provided every one of those promises to be fulfilled in our lives, in our hearts. You can believe and you can receive because of the extremes that God went to in his sacrifice on the cross. Amen. Don't want to forget it. Don't want to, you know, the Bible talks about you can crucify him afresh. You can put him to an open shame. Don't want to do that. You want to go down that road. Amen. Thank God for the foundation that the Lord has provided for us that Hebrews 6 talks about and how powerful that that description is of what the Lord has given, tasting of the heavenly gift and the blessings of God that come. But going on. Not leaving it, not forsaking it, but no, the foundation is there. Let's move on. Let's keep building. Let's keep seeing what else God has for us. Let's keep adding our faith. Praise God. And see the power and the blessings of the Lord because of what he's done. Amen. And so, at communion time, which is coming up just momentarily, that cup, it's not just a little bit of grape juice. It's symbolic of what he did. This is my blood in the New Testament. That bread, we use that cracker just to symbolize what he said. This is my body, which is broken for you. The Passover was what they had done year after year after year after year. And they kept that Passover with the Lord 3 years. This is the third time now. And now, what's he talking about? His blood, his body. John chapter 6, he challenged the multitude that he fed and, drink my blood, eat my body. What? What's he talking about? He's got a demon. You know, they had all kinds of opinions about it. They had all kinds of ideas. But, oh, I'm so thankful that he gave it to us to help us to remember. As often as you do this, he said, in remembrance of me. Praise God. Amen. Looking back to what he accomplished, looking back to what he did, not forgetting the price that he paid. Paul said it twice, you are bought with a price. Amen. And to make sure it's not something we take lightly and not something we just feel like, oh well. But thank God he went through it for us. That's why he's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. That's why he can relate to what you're feeling. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? You feel lonely? Remember, he said that. You feel distressed? You feel depressed? The Lord knows exactly what that feels like. And thank God he brings deliverance. He brings blessing. He brings power. He brings grace. Would you stand with me? We know the scripture gives us very direct instruction as to how we partake. And it's not a feast, not a time to feel as though everything is just going to doesn't have any consequence, doesn't have any meaning, doesn't have any, oh no, we understand, we recognize what the scripture is telling us. Eat this bread and drink this cup unworthily? No. Let a man examine himself. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Amen. We don't qualify ourselves. We're certainly not worthy in the sense of we earned it. There's merit that we have in our own lives that would qualify us. No. No. It's under the blood. Thank God. Under the blood. Let's pray here for just a moment now. Oh, Lord Jesus Christ, precious Savior, precious Lord, thank you for your wonderful blood, Lord, that washes us, that cleanses us. Let me be under your blood now, God. All of my words, all of my thoughts, let it be acceptable in your sight, O God. Cleanse me, Lord, of secret faults. Oh, Jesus, 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 help me not to walk in presumptuousness of sin, but, oh, Lord, order my steps in your word. No iniquity have dominion over me. Lord God, Lord God, oh, Savior, to be cleansed, Lord, hallelujah. Create in me a clean heart, O Lord, renew in me a right spirit. Cast me not away from your presence. Keep not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation. Lord God, we need you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your power and blessing now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for paying that awful price, for being that ultimate sacrifice. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So great salvation. I praise you, O God. Glorify you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Thank the Lord, thank the Lord. We're going to partake in communion here in just a moment. I'd like for the Vias to come and help us tonight, if you would. The tray of the bread and the cup are on my desk, if you would get those and then come and stand in the front here. Paul said 500 saw him after his resurrection. That's an incredible amount of people who would witness. You know, things are decided in a court of law sometimes with just one witness. 500 saying he's alive should definitely establish that. And then Paul said, last of all, he was seen of me. And I don't know if he was referring to the time that the Lord knocked him down in the road with a light, or if he was referring to other instances. But he said, I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. Then he went on to say, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. So two things here we're doing in way of remembrance. We're remembering him, that sacrifice, his death. But we also remember he's coming. Praise God. He's coming. And his blood needs to cover us. And we need to stay in his body. Because that's what he died for. That's whose name we're called by. That's his spirit that fills us. The spirit that makes you more than a conqueror. The spirit that gives you victory beyond anything that you're going to face in this life. Amen. Amen. So it's not just a ritual here tonight. Not just a ceremony. Thank God for the power of his blood and of his body. So I'd like for you to come, take a cup, take a piece of bread, return to your seat if you would, or stay in the altar area, whichever you prefer. And then we'll partake together. Young and old alike, I'm thankful it's for us all. Amen, amen. Go ahead and step out and come on through here. Thank you, precious Lord. Thank you, precious Lord. Precious Jesus, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. Praise God. Okay, turn here now. The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also, he took the cup. When he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Let's find a place to pray here for a few minutes. You can come to the front if you want. You can kneel where you are. You can stand or sit or whatever you feel to do. Let's pray.